Just a couple of opening comments before we start the lesson this morning. Good to have visitors with us this morning. I want you to know that you're our special guest. We invite you back every opportunity that you have to come, and we want to meet you. Please don't run off real quickly. Let's make sure that we all have a chance to meet you. I'm a wimp. I'm not wearing my jacket. I've been coming. We replaced our air conditioner about 3 weeks ago. Every Sunday I've been coming up here at 7 o'clock to make sure that it's running. It's been working perfectly. The one Sunday that I don't come up, it had a glitch. So here we are, and we got fanning people out there. I'm hot too. And so that's all right. It'll catch up here in a little bit, Lord willing. Just a couple of things about the Duvalls. When I was a young preacher, an older preacher warned me. He said, never go to a congregation where there is a retired preacher. Never do that. Boy, was he wrong. At least in the experience that I've had, because I've now been in the second congregation in my preaching career where there were not one but two preachers that had retired from public preaching. And I have not found it anything but to be encouraging. And so I will attribute that to the attitudes of James and Judy, and also Ron and Martha, in their support of my preaching. And I appreciate that so much. And sorry that we're going to be losing you. I'll mention Michelle. I'm sure there'll be other words that will be said. I'm not trying to take your thunder, elders, in any of this, but she came back to the Lord, and that's wonderful. So it's great to have them with us. One other comment in opening. Jack, I didn't think you could get any skinnier. He had COVID and is over that now, and he lost weight. How? I don't know where he found it to lose it, but he did. So good to have you back, Brother Jack. The treatment of truth. And you know, as you look in our world today, you look at what is on TV, you look at how we were being trained by network TV and cable TV and the movies and so forth, every bit of it that is taking place is an attack against the absolute truth. And I want you to think about this from the standpoint of what is recorded in Scripture concerning truth. And the first thing that we find that I want to present in connection with truth is recorded for us in John, the third chapter, verses 19 through 21. John 3, 19 through 21. And Jesus is doing the speaking. And he says there, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. You can put truth there, light for truth, and it means exactly the same thing. And men love darkness rather than light. You could put lies and deception for darkness, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, or the truth, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. The first thing we find out about truth is that there is absolutely no fear, no fear of scrutiny in connection with truth. As a matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite. There is a desire for scrutiny in connection with truth. What I mean by that is that everything that one does, if they are looking to please God, if they are looking to serve God in accordance with His will, they want to know whether or not what they are doing is in accordance to His will. And whenever anything is brought up, there is an appreciation of that scrutiny of their actions, their beliefs, and their doctrines. And that's what the truth does. We see exactly the opposite of that in the world today. And this, of course, has a name these days. It's called cancel culture. Where the truth doesn't want to be heard. If you don't preach, if you don't teach, if you don't hold to what I believe, what I say, well, then you're canceled. I don't want to hear anything about it. You should be taken out of the way. And that's what's in the world today. And there's an aspect of this that we need to understand in connection with truth, because, of course, when I say truth, I didn't put the definite article there, but of course it exists. There is the truth. The one and only truth that exists, and that is from God. And as we understand and look at that, we recognize that truth cannot be determined by what is in the world. Truth can only be determined, known, and followed by that which comes from God. That's the only absolute truth. And the reason being is that look at all the different so-called truths that are in the world today. And so when we look at this, we understand that there is absolute truth. And that truth is from one source. It is in or from Christ Jesus. And we see that when we look in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 17 through 21. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, that is, in the things that they decide to do, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, having given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. There's not another source. The truth is from deity, from Christ, from Jesus, from God the Father, from the Spirit. Of course, that delivers that truth to us through His Word. And there's not another standard nor source of absolute truth that exists other than that which comes from God. And we understand that because, again, there are so many so-called truths that are in the world today. If you have multiple truths, then what you actually have when you come down to the summation of it, breaking it down in a mathematical equation, you have zero truth. Because it cannot equate to the same. If it's not the same, it's not truth. But you see, there is an unadulterated truth that is in God's Word on every aspect and topic of our life, that which is physical and that which is spiritual. When we think about this, the truth that has been presented to us is called the law of liberty. And the law of liberty includes the thought that there was bondage before there was this liberty that has been presented to us by God. And we see that whenever we look over in James, the 1st chapter, verse 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25. And James says this: Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He sees within that reflection of God's Word that is presented his true self. And I'll just be honest, that's hard to do. Because we don't want to recognize our faults and our flaws. We many times want to blame others. Well, it's because of someone. It's what they did. It's what they said. It's how they acted. It was their mannerisms that caused all the problems. It was their opinion was different than mine. And so what the truth does, being from the Word of God, is like a mirror that shows all the flaws and faults in our lives and reflects that back to us. And if we take that, we're a doer of God's Word. If we don't, we are like the man that turns away, as it says here, and forgets what manner of person that he was. But it goes on and it says this: But he who looks, this is verse 25, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deeds. And what is being stated here is that what the truth will do will set one free. It will give liberty because there is bondage separate apart from truth. We're in bondage to the world. We're in bondage to men's thoughts, ideas, and their devotions and their desires. Or maybe even our own, but it is separate from that which is God because both cannot exist side by side and be in us. It's either one or the other. And so we understand that. So those that are true believers will hear what God says from His truth. And we see that in John the 8th chapter, verse 45 through 47, as Jesus makes this presentation of truth to the Jews of His day. And He says there, beginning in verse 45, But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Stop right there. And that is taking place today. People do not believe because the truth is told. people do not believe because it does not fit their desires, their wants, what they think is right, the standards of right and wrong that they have set in their own minds, or what society has set, what is acceptable to society, but rather it goes against that. So because truth is taught, they don't want to hear the truth. And they don't want to believe. Which of you, Jesus says in verse 46, convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He makes a presentation here of himself as, of course, that example of absolute truth and following God. He is a true follower of God. And so he says in verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words or the truth. He tells them, the Jews that ultimately would put him to death, he tells them before he puts them to death, therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. If we have our hope in something other than truth, we have our hope in something other than God. If we have our hope in something other than God, we have our hope in the existence of this life and not in what God affords us of the inheritance of heaven in the after a while. And that's just the fact of the matter. As we look at the truth and we start to consider this truth that is being presented, we understand that we need to hear God's word if we want to really do God's will, if we really want to know the truth. And we look at what is being done to the truth. And what is being done to the truth these days is, first of all, it is suppressed. It is suppressed. And it takes many different forms in which the truth is being suppressed today. Let me give an example for you in the reading of Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 and 19. Romans 1, 18 and 19. And here Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. In other words, there is a recognition of what is right, but because of man's own desire and his own will, and not a desire to follow God, he suppresses truth. And that is done in the world today. I want to give you some statistics that I looked up in connection with what is really being presented to us in this world today, and especially with sexual orientation. And I think it's very important for us to understand that when we go back and we look in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26 and 27, we understand that God made man after his own image. He made male and female. Now let's just turn that in connection with what is being presented concerning sexual orientation to where the claims are made it is not sin, it is not a sickness. I'm not going to call it a sickness. I believe that it is a sin, and we'll see that in just a moment. But as we look at that, think about it from the natural course of events. In the way that God put man upon this earth, he made them male and female. Let's take the preaching of today that is going about and saying there's nothing wrong with marriage of same sex and involvement in same sex. And let's say that everyone holds to that. Everyone in this world. As a matter of fact, everyone is converted to that. And everyone in this world takes in a same sex partner. And they are convicted to the point where that will never change. Everyone in this world, let me ask you, what happens to the population of this world after a period of time? It goes away. Human beings cease from the face of the earth. We see then that there is a natural consequence to that which is truly natural, set forth in place by God, of darkness taking over light. And that consequence is non-existence. And not only in the spiritual, and I'm talking about existence with God, I'm not talking about annihilation, but also existence here upon this earth. If that was truly held to, and that was truth, and it was absolute fact. As a matter of fact, there's other things that go along with it. There's a reason that God gave commands for men and women to be together in the marriage bond and no other way. And the reason for that, I pulled up some data from the CDC. This data was reported in 2013 of what was taking place in 2010. And it dealt with heterosexual, male and female. It deals with lesbian and bisexual. And also the male counterpart to lesbian, which I don't use the term gay, but so you'll know what I'm talking about. And this is lifetime prevalence among, first of all, women in connection with rape. And you have 17% of rapes that take place in heterosexual relationships, man with woman. 13% by those that are lesbian, and 46% by those that are bisexual. Sexual violence other than rape among women. 43% heterosexual, 46% lesbian, 75% bisexual. Intimate partner violence, 35% among heterosexual, 46% among lesbian, and 61% among bisexual. What does that tell us? What that tells us is that when there is relationships outside of the natural way that God has established, that there is that propensity and that ultimate outcome where there is continued violence and defilement of one another's persons. And that's what it tells us, because there is not the recognition of the way that God has set things forth in this world. And this is not me that is taking something skewed to try to present to you from some religious study that was done. This is from the CDC, which, by the way, promotes homosexuality also. And you go to the other side of this in connection with lifetime prevalence among men, and that is rape. 1% heterosexual, nothing as far, of course, as gay or bisexual, or let me say homosexual or bisexual. Sexual violence other than rape, 21% with heterosexual, 40% among men homosexuals, and 47% among bisexuals. Violence, intimate partner violence, 29% among those that are heterosexual, 26%, and it is the only number that is not greater than that which is heterosexual, or rather than homosexual or bisexual, 26%, and 37% by bisexual. There's a study also that was done that says that there are 4.5% of people in the United States that identify as LGBTQ. That's a very small number as far as the overall number of people in the United States. But it says also of those 4.5%, 39% have mental issues. 39% have mental issues. Well, why is that? Of course, the cry comes, well, because they are discriminated against. That, I have not found that to be the case, because I have taught those that are of the LGBTQ community before. And in studies with them, what I find out that causes them the greatest grief is actually there is a remorse for the lifestyle that they have chosen. There is a remorse for the lifestyle that they have chosen. And when you look at that, that begins to weigh upon them. It's just like murderers that have murdered people and have gotten away with it for years, and then finally they find a way, I think maybe even subconsciously, to get themselves apprehended, because there is such guilt that is within them. And the same case in the situation with these particular folks. They recognize that this is not the natural course. They recognize that they should not be involved in that. So we see that the truth then is really suppressed when these numbers are not really put out there and they're not brought up on national TV. They're not reported on any of the cable network news organizations. It's not reported. And the reason being is there are those that want this lifestyle to be accepted and not be questioned whatsoever, and to have equality with that which God established. And so what you do in order to get that done is that you suppress the truth. Just as spoken, of course, as we read in Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 and 19. It leads to other things also. And what I've seen just by experience, and I did not think about calling numbers up on this, but I've seen it by experience, those that have been involved in pedophilia, the majority of them come from the LGBTQ community. It lends itself to worse and worse crimes against humanity. And God recognized that, and this reason that He made male and female. We see also what can be done to the truth is that it not be received in love. It's not received in love. And we understand that. That goes actually over here. It's not received in love. And what we see there in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verses 10 and 11, Paul says, "And with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the law of the truth, they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, and that is because they do what they want, and they are hearing what they want, rather than receiving the truth." So the truth is not received in love because there cannot be, in their consideration, an absolute truth that exists. If it does, it testifies against them. It testifies against them. We also see that the truth is boasted against and is lied against. It's boasted against and lied against. And we see that whenever we look over in James, the third chapter, verses 14 through 18. "But if you have bitter envying and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic." And the point to this is the accusations that are being made against those that would stand for the truth. And it doesn't matter if it's about sexuality or any other topic. It doesn't matter. There is always, when there is the truth and those in opposition to the truth, it will always delineate down to an attack against the person rather than against the word, the truth. And that takes place. And it's happening today. And it's been happening for many years. We see that the truth is evil spoken of. When we look in 2 Peter in verse 2, "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." It is evil spoken of. It is, in other words, just as Isaiah says in Isaiah 5 and verse 20 and 21, "Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, that put light for darkness and darkness for light. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes." And so when we look at that, we see that there are those that will not listen to the truth. As a matter of fact, in order to counteract truth, they have to speak evil of truth. We also see that truth is denied. And there is really the ultimate issue in connection with how the truth is handled. It's a denial that truth exists at all. And we see that in 1 John 1, verses 5 through 10. And there it says this: "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, He is truth, and in Him is no darkness, deceit, or lie at all." I'm adding some words there for our understanding. And He says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." There's a change in the attack that is being made, and especially in connection with the same-sex relationships by those that are involved in it and involved in religion also. There are religions that, of course, have been embracing the same-sex relationship, and even those of the clergy within those religions. And there's been a change to what their argument has been for many years. First of all, the words that are used for effeminate abusers of themselves and mankind, homosexuality and so forth, that is in the scriptures, say that really is not what it means. It means something different, but we can't tell you exactly what it means because it's not clear. But we know this is not what it means. And so if you look at that, you actually have a denial of truth. And so he says then, as we go on in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us when we will not say that we have sinned when God says we have. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are told that. Then in verse 10, of course, he comes back and say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. When you look then at truth, and we could go on, it is disobeyed. Romans 2, verse 6 through 11, truth is being handled deceitfully. 2 Corinthians 4, 2 through 4, it is never realized by some. 2 Timothy 3, verses 5 and 7, is being turned away from. Titus, the first chapter, verses 13 through 16. But here is the fact about truth as we see it in God's Word, because there is a standard of truth. And that is recorded for us in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Man will make their accusations against the truth, and they will continually do so. But the fact of the matter, that doesn't change the truth. There will be those that will be ostracized in our society because of the truth. That doesn't change the truth. It may come to the point where we are attacked at this place for sermons such as this and for our doctrine that we believe from God's Word. But it won't change the truth. It could even come to the point of an absolute cancel culture where we are put to death and we are canceled out of society, but the fact is it won't change the truth. It will not change the truth. And so because of that, I want to ask you some questions, each and every one of us, and those that may be listening, because this goes, of course, online. Wherever I look from Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 16, Paul says this, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And what he's talking about there, because God has supplied the truth to us. There's no reason to be ignorant of God's will. There's not a reason in the world to be carried away by false doctrine. There's not a reason in the world for that, because the truth is ever before us in God's Word. Then he says in verse 15, and I say this to our audience, not only here but also online, but speaking the truth in love. And I promise you that I'm speaking the truth in love. I told you that I've studied with those of the LGBTQ community in the past, and I've done that. It's not because I hate them. It's because I love them. I love their souls. I do not love their actions. I think that they are despicable, and I believe that, and I know that they are against God's will. I know that. But I love their souls, and I will teach them at any time if they will listen. And so I ask the question, just as Paul asked the question here, or makes a statement, but speaking the truth in love, do you consider what has been presented from God's Word, not from my own mind, but rather from God's Word, you consider that to be the truth? If you understand that it is the truth from God's Word and the only truth, understand also that it is being presented from the standpoint of love. When we look in John, the 8th chapter, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says this, therefore said he to the Jews who believed in him, if you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we have the truth presented to us in love. And we have the absolute truth that Jesus talks about here in John 8, 31 and 32. Then I want to add one more thing in connection with this lesson. It's what Paul says in Galatians 4 and verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You know, it may be that you have friends that are involved in the LGBTQ community. You've become friends with them. You like them very much. I'll tell you, many of them are very likable people. Very likable. So some are not. It's just like in all of society. Some people are easier to get along with than others. Some people are easier to like than others. We understand that. But if you're a child of God, if you're a child of God, and you understand that there is a truth, the absolute truth that comes from God, Do you understand that by you suppressing the truth, if you're not teaching your friend, that actually what you're doing is condemning their soul? You're condemning them, their soul, by not presenting to them what God requires of them. And not only that, you're becoming partakers with them in their evil deeds. Go ahead and get it pulled up, if you don't mind, brother. Because you've given your credence to their actions. And I'll tell you, if they're truly your friend, you'll want them to be saved. And you'll not withhold the truth from them. And you will not dismiss the truth, even though they are your friend and it goes against what they are doing. You will accept the truth and have that desire. I want to teach my friend because I don't want them to lose their soul.
Amen.
That's the standpoint from which a true Christian comes. The one that goes to the mirror, looks and sees himself, sees the flaws, makes the correction. And then goes away and is pleasing unto God. As opposed to those that look in the mirror and forget what they were. Because they want to do what they want to do. Let me ask you this morning, how are you treating the truth? If you're not a child of God this morning, how are you treating the truth? If you by faith refuse and look to God and refuse to have faith, well then you're rejecting truth. If you're rejecting the thought of repentance, which is a change of mind in one's heart that says, I will no longer serve myself, my own desires, but rather serve God, you're rejecting truth. If you will not name the name of Christ, confessing Him as the Son of God, you reject the truth and making commitment to Him. If you're not baptized for the remission of your sins, you reject the truth. And you're not a child of God. Those of us that are Christians, if we're not offering our bodies as a living sacrifice, Lord, this is hard. It's hard. I have these people that I care about and all, and it's so hard to present the truth to them. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I don't ever want to do that. If we don't present our bodies a living sacrifice and give ourselves up for the cause of Christ, we do an injustice to ourselves and to that person also. And in the way that we conduct ourselves as Christians. Are we involved in the work? Are we involved in making sure harmony is in existence in this congregation? Are we living and studying God's will and then putting it into practice in our lives? How do we handle the truth? If we're not doing that, we are rejecting the truth. We're denying it. There may be those here this morning that need to respond to the gospel call, the truth of the gospel call. Either in becoming a Christian or in correcting matters in their life that they have found to be amiss. If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.